Had any of you met someone in your life or somewhere down to in your life that when you first met them, that he or she, whether he or she, you just find them a bit afraid or a bit scary, and you want to step back a few steps backwards? One only two. I guess we all have somewhere down the road in our life or somewhere in the past. Well, I definitely did when I was a kid. Because when I was growing up, when I was a child, I've known this uncle or that uncle since childhood, because he was a family friend of ours. And his family would always invite our family or myself to... there's a lot of gatherings at their house for BBQ. And I was friends with his son, and I was also classmates with one of his nephew. So this is how I met this uncle, okay? And when I first met him, he looked a bit off, okay? He had really those death stares and really bad teeth and purple hair, and he was a barber. So he looked kind of like someone who retired from gang members, or he looks like some punk from the 80s. He's just weird looking, and I just want to walk back a few steps whenever I saw him. But then he would suddenly, in these gatherings, BBQ gatherings, he would suddenly come out with an acoustic guitar and would lead worship, singing along, worship music. So when I got a little bit older, I got to know more about his background, his story behind him. He grew up in poverty. This uncle grew up in poverty. And he grew up at one of the most redundant districts in Hong Kong, where there's a lot of crime, pillaging, prostitution, and drug trafficking in that environment that he grew up with. So he was surrounded by all these really dark things of the world. And when he was 11 years old, he was introduced to drugs. And he started to use drugs or takes drugs at 11. And he became a drug addict for over a decade. So when he got into his 20s, he was trying to get rid of his addiction. But it was getting harder and harder because he had been in the drug or using drug for over a decade, a long time. In fact, he got so sick of himself that those drugs were really killing him. If he continues to his habit, he would have died. If not, he would even lose everything. So finally, the year when he turned 23, there was a group of Lutheran missionaries from Finland, okay, randomly came all the way to Hong Kong to specifically serve these drug addicts. It was like an organization. And it was through this group of missionaries and organization he was able to get rid of his drug use. And it was also one of these Lutheran missionaries introduced him about Jesus Christ, the gospel. And it was also in the same year that he accepted Christ. And he was also baptized at a Lutheran church back in that same year. So, by the way, this is a church. Don't be afraid of the construction or the architecture. Because early Scandinavian missionaries, Lutheran missionaries, when they first landed in Hong Kong, they tried to blend with the local architecture. So, but it's a church. It's not like a Buddhist temple. It's a real church. But it was this uncle, through these missionaries, he was saved both physically and spiritually. And because of that, he thanked God. He thanked God for bringing him out of this dark, dark world where he could be destroyed any time sooner. Now, oftentimes when we pray, how oftentimes do we sit down and pray and give thanks to God for everything we have? Because a prayer of thanksgiving is actually a rare type of prayer. We often pray to God when we feel needy, when we are really in help, when we are helpless, right? But as being children of God, we have a need to respond to God's grace in and out of season, all the time, every day. So the question today is, how can we respond to God's grace appropriately, properly? That's our question today. Now, there was a prophet who got himself into a big trouble because he rejected God's call. He was rebelling against his calling. And first, we'll see how this prophet learned to give a thanksgiving prayer. And also, our salvation only comes from God. And you will give thanks and be loyal to God. So our text today is Jonah chapter 2. And in this chapter, Jonah finally made a prayer to God. And majority of this passage is his prayer. So let's all stand and rise and recite this passage together with me, reading from the ESV translation, Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves pass over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me, weeds enwrapped about my head. To the roots of the mountains I went down, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. You may be seated. So as you have seen, you have read, Jonah gave a prayer of thanksgiving to God in Jonah chapter 2, almost of its entirety. Now, Jonah by this point realized that he was in big trouble for being disobedient to his calling from God. He was rebelling against his calling. And if you remember the story of Jonah, towards the end of the previous chapter, which is chapter 1, he had requested or told the sailors to throw him down to the storm or to the sea because there was a sea storm. And throwing down to the sea would stop the sea storm from wrecking the boat. And this chapter is also the very first time you see Jonah praying. In other words, he didn't even pray while during the sea storm. He would rather die than to go to Nineveh. So this is how much hate he has for the Ninevites. So Jonah's prayer contains his experience of God's grace and his response, particularly in verses 2 to 9. This is the core part of the entire chapter. Now, this prayer was derived from a compilation of different psalms. In other words, you can say in the modern day, it's Jonah's Psalms mixtape. It's compiled with different types of psalms mixed together. In other words, Jonah knows his scripture. He knows his Bible very well by head. It's all in his mind. In other words, he's very heady. He's very heady. Now, first, there's two sections between verse 2 to verse 9. The very first part is verses 2 to 7. Here you can see it is Jonah's expression of experiencing God's deliverance. He was experiencing God's deliverance. Now, if you pay attention to verse 2, there's a place called Sheol, the term Sheol is actually a place where people would go when they die. At least this is what the Old Testament times people believe. This Sheol is the place where they would go, when they die, or all the dead people will end up in Sheol once they die, because in the Old Testament times, people did not have the concept of heaven and hell. That was later, the concept of heaven and hell was later developed in the New Testament. So when they die, they go to Sheol. Now, there's another Hebrew word in verse 7. It's translated as fainting away in the ESV. Now, this word really means losing consciousness or passing out, fainting, or passing out from lacking oxygen. Because you need to notice, in the sea, there's no oxygen. Jonah had no access to oxygen. And also, even inside the belly of the fish, there's no oxygen inside the belly of the fish. In fact, there's actually acid where it would break down the food. Now, another thing that Jonah mentioned, he mentioned this holy temple twice. First time, he mentioned it in verse 4, and the other times in verse 7, as to search for a place to pray to God. Now, also another thing about the backgrounds of the Old Testament period, Israelites tend to go to the temple to pray to God. It's very normal for them to go to the temple to pray to God. If they don't go to the temple, they would at least face the direction of the Jewish temple or the Israelite temple to pray to God. If you remember the prophet Daniel, when he prayed, he was actually facing towards the temple, the direction of the temple to pray to God. That was the custom back then. So this was Jonah's literary expression or recollection of his drowning experience. And the second part is verses 8 to 9. And this is where Jonah responded to God's grace. There's some complication in terms of translation in verse 8. Go to verse 8. The idol worshippers abandoned their loyalty to God. Forsake their hope of steadfast love. That's the translation of verse 8. And in this phrase, it could actually also be translated in, they forfeit the mercy that could be theirs. So different Bible translation have a different take on the Hebrew grammar. So whatever translation they took, it's because of the two different options that they can get. But in other words, because the ESV took the forsake their hope of steadfast love, the other translation that could be translated as they forfeit the mercy that could be theirs, if you take that translation, it's also fine, because in other words, the Hebrew could also mean that the ones who worship the idols would not have the goodness or the greatness and the mercy of God, the grace of God, such as salvation. However, if you see verses 8 to 9, these two verses, they're actually contrasting sentences. The idol worshippers abandoned their loyalty to God, and while Jonah claims to make a promising vow to God for saving him. so you can see the contrast, disloyalty versus loyalty, disloyalty versus loyalty. Only God could save Jonah. Only God can allow this to happen. So Jonah gave thanks to God for saving his life. At the end, the Lord told the fish to vomit Jonah out to the dry ground. Now, it's most likely speculated that when the fish spat him, he probably was landed at the shore of Joppa, which is where he started, where he actually departed to go to Tarshish, the other direction. But he went back to where he began the escape. So if you know the map of the city of Nineveh, it's actually in the inland. They have no shore. There's no sea around it. So even after he was back to the shore of Joppa, he still need to make some time to travel to the inland of Nineveh. Nineveh is actually the modern-day Iraq. It's the modern-day Iraq. So this was Jonah's very own death and resurrection experience. In fact, Jesus had used this very account of Jonah to illustrate his sign of his own death and resurrection in the Gospels. So Jonah gave a prayer of thanksgiving to God. So what is our grace? What is the grace that we have? Well, our salvation comes from God. Our salvation only comes from God. He's our only source of salvation. Now, we receive salvation from God through His grace. Now, what is grace? It's a big word. Grace is something that we did not earn it. We did not deserve it in the beginning. In fact, it's freely given to us. Or in other words, it's the work of God, not our work. But grace is something that only God can do, or God could work on, and we can't. So God delivered us when we were still sinning against Him, and Jesus had already done everything for us in the cross. This is why baptism is an experience of God's grace. Baptism is an experience of God's grace. Therefore, we are to give thanks to God at all times. We are to acknowledge ourselves as sinners, because if we may forget to give thanks to God. And do you often pray to thank God? Because when we often pray to God, which is good, but we often pray to God for what we need. And when we got it, do we remember God anymore? Maybe oftentimes we forget it, or we forget about it after we get it, or after our prayers are answered. So a prayer of thanksgiving to God is a rare type of prayer. It's not a common one. But our response to God's grace is to be loyal to Him. Our loyalty to God is the result of our salvation, or of us receiving salvation from God. Being loyal to God means being obedient to God. Now, what that means is we are to accept His call no matter we like it or not, whether we like our calling or not. It's all about obedience. It's all about obedience. It has nothing to do with what we want or our passion. I remembered when I first came here for my interview for my position, a hiring position here. There was a Q&A section, and I remember there was a parent sitting right there, and I was right here. And that parent asked me a very good question. He actually asked me, do I have a heart? Do I have a passion for youth ministry? And I responded by saying that, passion and calling is two separate things. Okay, passion is something we love to do. We would die to do it. But calling is something that God wants us to do. It's two separate things. It may most likely not go well with, or not compatible with each other. Oftentimes, our calling from God may not have to do with our passion. Oftentimes, it's something that we probably is reluctant or don't want to do. So we can't mix the two things together. We have to separate it very clearly. Passion and calling is two separate things. So it is through our obedience to God that we are able to receive the goodness and the greatness of God. Although we may not like the process, we may not like the journey. But how should you respond to God's grace when you receive it? Respond to God's grace by giving thanks and being loyal to Him. Respond to God's grace by giving thanks and being loyal to Him. Give thanks to God for what He had done for you. Remember that you did not earn your salvation. Jesus had already done everything for you at the cross. You did not deserve for God's help, so therefore, whenever He helped you, acknowledge and give thanks to Him through prayer. Now, this actually helps you. It helps you to be less selfish, less self-centered whenever you find God not hearing you or answering your prayer. God does hear your prayer. He does. And He does hear your needs. He knows your needs. And whenever He answers you, give thanks to Him. Now, you must experience God's grace in order to share the gospel to others. You must like the product before you sell the product. So give thanks to God by remaining loyal to Him. That's your best response that you can do for Him. Be loyal to Him and don't go with what your flesh desires to do. Being loyal to God means that you will have to obey Him. Obey Him no matter what. You may not like to serve the people He had called you to serve, or your calling may not be one that you wanted, or may not be one you have planned for, or may not be one you dreamed to have. But what God wants from you may differ from what you want. So being obedient to God is about the process. It's about the journey. Does the result really matter? Does the outcome really matter? Well, if you think about it, why would it matter? Because you already have eternal salvation through what Jesus had done at the cross. Jesus had done what we all had, what we needed. And Jesus has done everything at the cross already for us. So it's all about our obedience and do what He had called us to do. Not about the result, but had we obeyed Him? Had we done what we are called to do? Had we been fixed? Had we been content with our position to execute our calling? So it is the misery of your flesh that you are able to experience God's grace and mercy, His goodness, His greatness. It is your misery of your flesh that you are able to experience God's grace and mercy, His greatness. So respond to God's grace by giving thanks and being loyal to Him. So you saw how, now you've just seen how Jonah gave a prayer of thanksgiving to God after he was saved by Him. He was saved by God and realized that how big of a trouble he had gone himself into. And also our salvation only comes from God. He's our only source for salvation. And you will respond to God's grace by giving thanks and being loyal to Him. So, that uncle was drug-free, or he got out of rehab when he was 23, finally, through the help of these Lutheran missionaries from Finland. In fact, same group of people introduced him to the gospel, and he was called by God to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and was baptized at the Lutheran Church. And after his baptism, after God had delivered him out of the drug world, the dark world that he was at, that he was trying so hard to get out from. He thanked God. He thanked God by being loyal to God. Because he was still working as a barber, he enrolled into the night classes of local Bible colleges in order to be trained for ministry. And one day, his pastor called out to the congregation and asked, who wants to go to be a missionary, to the mission, go to the mission field to be a missionary? And he raised his hand up and accepted the call. I responded to the call by God and went with the missionary team to a country or a place where the gospel must be proclaimed. And he shared a bit with me with his experience in those times when he was a missionary. He planted a church there, he preached there, and he evangelized there. But on the other hand, being a missionary could be very, very, very tough. He was dead poor. His team was really, really poor. Their money was always lacking. He told me that each meal was not guaranteed. Like whether they have a meal or food on the table the next day, it's not guaranteed. They need to be totally dependent on God for food. It's like his experience was like manna, getting manna. Food for him was like manna from God. So it was that tough. So because of financial issues and he has a family to take care of, he went back home and helped a lot of fresh grad seminarians to plant churches and to lead worship and really support these new generations of pastors and ministers. And he also did a lot of local prison ministries afterwards. Now, to my surprise, he knows a lot about Scripture, a lot more than probably a lot of pastors I know. I'm saying like some details, like he would read Scripture word for word in order to know those facts. And sometimes I kind of wondered, does his past drug use had to do with it? His superb memory skills. But it may be a surprise to you that he still remains a very significant inspiration to me, even to this day. Even to this day, he still inspires me, maybe because of him that I am speaking to you today. So thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the story of Jonah to remind us to give thanks to you for what you had done for us, for the blessings that you have provided us all along, even though we don't deserve it. But help us to give thanks to you for what you had given us, your mercy and your love that you have given us all our lives. Also, may the Spirit help us to stay loyal to you. Help us to respond in loyalty, to be obedient to your calling, and not to obey our flesh. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.